Hi, everyone. Woohoo! We're so excited to be in Christchurch. We're here for the next 10 days or so, and we are just already feeling the glory and the presence of God. Isn't he good? Oh, he's so good. He can't not be good, because that's who he is. So we're just going to introduce our kids quickly. We took them out of kids' church, and they're like, we want to go back. But we do ministry as a family, and we travel around as a family. So we're just going to introduce them, and then they can pop back out and have fun with the kids.
Hi, my name is Judah.
Hi, my name is Ocean. I'm 8 and a half years old.
My name is Ocean. I'm Olive.
Good job. That's Olive. Thanks, guys. All right, you can head back out.
What do you want to do?
All right. Yeah, all right. Woo! So we love just flowing with the Holy Ghost as well. So this morning, man, we're just into it. Like, let's just go wherever he wants to take us. We don't have an agenda apart from him. Amen? Because there's nothing better than Jesus. Whoo, he's just able to fulfill every desire, every need, every miracle that's crying out in our lives. He is able to fulfill every single area. And he wants to fulfill every area in your life this morning. Some of you have come with difficulties. Some of you have come with challenges. Some of you have come with doubts. Some of you have come with pain. Some of you have come with torments. And he is the one who is able to meet every need. Because that's what he paid for on the cross. Okay, he didn't just pay for sickness on the cross and leave sin out. Or he didn't just pay for sin and leave sickness out. But he took on every single aspect that we may deal with as mankind so that we could be free as sons and daughters of God. Every aspect. You know what? Sometimes we get okay with the little foxes that spoil the vine because they become so familiar to us. We've lived with them for years. We've dealt with them for years that they're almost our little foxes that become our pets rather than looking at them as hindrances to our freedom. The fullness of our freedom, the abundant life that Jesus actually paid for. But sometimes we want to just, because it takes intentional humility and intentional desire to want to be free. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed, but sometimes he's like, well, I've given you the keys, so why aren't you unlocking that prison that I've already unlocked for you? And why aren't you walking out? Because the prison's become familiar. The prison's actually become a distorted version of comfort. And it seems more fearful to step out of what's comfortable and familiar and step into freedom that is unfamiliar and seems like it's going to be uncomfortable. Yet it's going to liberate you. It's going to set you free. And you're actually going to step into more of who Christ created you to be. Your God-given identity is not in a prison. It is not to be tormented. Amen? Your God-given identity is not to be tormented. Your God-given identity is not to be shy. Your God-given identity is not to have pain in your life or in your body. That is not your God-given identity. But the enemy wants us to distort it and own it to a point that it becomes so blurry that we don't separate it any longer, that it becomes us. That pain becomes us. That torment becomes us. That shyness becomes us. So it's a lot harder to get rid of something that you think is you. Right? Because you're not disowning it, you think it's you, and so you can't disown you, you got to live with you. So therefore, I got to live with this. And we accept the little foxes that spoil our vine. But we are engrafted into the vine. Choo! Come on, Jesus. We are engrafted into him. And we are engrafted so he can nourish us, so he can fulfill us, so we can become fruitful in him. But we want to disown those little foxes this morning. Amen? Yes. We don't want to live with them. I don't want to live with them. Even the little doubts, the little fears, the little worries about finances, or the little, you know what? I've just, It doesn't really, really bother me, but I've had this knee pain for the last 5 years. I mean, I can still get on with my day, and the majority of my life I can do. And you've become familiar with it, where it's actually, you know what happens when, like, I've got a knee pain, right? The rest of my body is going to compensate my weight, the way I walk, so it can relieve the pressure from that pain. So we have actually compensated areas of our lives to relieve the pressure of pain so it doesn't torment us so much, so it doesn't hinder us so much. But what has actually happened is that you have altered the way that you live to suit the pain that you've been dealing with. You have altered your faith in God so that this pain can still carry on in your day to day. You see, sometimes that enemy wants to come in and go, is God really good? Well, he is good. Yes, he is. But deep down, you've actually altered your position in believing he's good because you've still got this pain going on, but we don't want to address the pain. We want to compensate the pain. And we all do it at time to time. So that's why we need the Holy Ghost to show us, do you realize that you're compensating in areas of your faith because of this disappointment, because of this rejection, because of this wound, because of this hurt, because of this pain? Do you realize that your faith is compensating in other areas and it's unhealthy because walking like this is not normal, but it's become our normal. Our compensation has become so familiar that we actually think we're walking normal. And God wants to highlight that that ain't normal. And that's not freedom. And it doesn't come from a place of condemnation. It says, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. That God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He did not come to condemn, but to rescue us, to reveal to us the fullness of what he paid for on the cross. There is a fullness. We don't want to compensate anymore. Holy Spirit, we just ask right now
for your
wisdom and revelation to be upon every single person. Because it is about you ministering to us each personally. Because you know everyone's life. You know everyone's situation, you know everyone's challenges, and you know the areas that we all compensate in different ways. But we don't want to compensate for pain any longer. We don't want to compensate for doubt and hurt any longer. We don't want to compensate for fear any longer. God, we want to see the fullness of our identity burst forth because of what you paid for on the cross. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for you right now.
Thank you, Jesus, for being in this place. What an awesome word this morning. Amen. For this house, amen. We're going to pray through to the breakthrough. And then we're going to push through to the breakout. Hallelujah. You know, I was talking to a pastor in Wellington. He was a father in the faith, man of God, and we were just talking back and forth about moves of God, and he said to me, look, older gentleman, he said to me, you know, Joe, in the 50s and 60s, the move of God was just in the homes. You know, it was like the prayer meeting and the hungry, you know, ones that everyone thought was a little weird, a little out of the box, and they would just meet in the homes and they'd have these moves of God. He said in the 80s and the 90s, it hit the churches. And he said, you know, the move of God hit the churches and it became a little bit more mainstream. And all of a sudden, people began to brace the moving of the Spirit and casting out demons and healing of the sick. And then I finished the sentence for him and I said, and in the 2000s, it's hitting the streets. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, because Jesus wants to be on the streets, amen. He ministered in the synagogue, then he went and climbed a mountain and preached to the multitudes, then he walked along the beach and made some disciples, hallelujah, amen. He wasn't satisfied with just being in the synagogue because he knew my Father has called me to take this fire to the streets. Hallelujah. Amen. And we're going to push all the way through to the breakout. Hallelujah. Amen. Because your breakthrough is not just for you, it's for someone else too. Hallelujah. Amen. Your breakthrough is not just for you, it's for someone else too. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's a prophet we love that God connected us with, just a father in the faith in Florida. And he rhymes when he prophesies. I don't know. I had to try and rebuke the anointing because I didn't want to rhyme. Like, I'd get around him and all his prophecies would be rhymes and I would start to hear rhymes in my head. I say, I rebuke that. That's his anointing. I got to be in my own anointing because it was so contagious. Amen. But that's not happening today. But amen, we got to do that. You know, while Les was speaking, I was seeing some visions, and the first vision I saw was David battling Goliath, amen. You see, David just wasn't happy with just getting those stones and slinging them into Goliath's head and Goliath falling to the ground. But he took Goliath's sword off him, and then he cut off Goliath's head. You understand what I'm saying? He wasn't happy just that Goliath fell. Because if Goliath fall, maybe he can get up again in your life. But he wanted to totally kill the giant in his life. And so he cut the head off Goliath with Goliath's sword. See, God wants to take the weapons that the enemy used against you. Come on, I need someone to shout over here like you're in an American church right now. Amen. He wants to take that sword that the enemy used against you when he condemned you and when he caused sin to come to you and when he brought that trauma against you when you were too young to defend yourself and he was shooting those arrows at you and condemning you for what you went through in your life when it wasn't even your fault. And you're going to take that sword and use it against the devil. Come on, you condemn me all my life, devil. I'm going to set others free of condemnation. You abused me all my life, devil. I'm going to set others people from abuse. I'm going to take your sword off you and use it against you. You had me suffering sickness and disease. I'm going to have a healing anointing that's going to raise the dead, devil. Whew. Hallelujah. See, the thing is, David kept the sword of Goliath his whole life. Somewhere along the lines, when he got persecuted by Saul, he lost it. And he went through this wilderness. He went through persecution. He went through a hard time. Even though the prophecies over him said, you're going to be king, it went the exact opposite way, and he became a hunted person. I don't know if anyone's had a prophecy here, and when you got the prophecy, suddenly everything went opposite. Well, you're in good company because it happened in the Bible too. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so David finds himself hunted. David finds himself in the wilderness. David finds himself in trouble. And he goes to a priest to get a word from God. He didn't need a word from God. He needed back his sword from the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he goes to this priest and he's trying to figure out, you know, give me a word this way or this way. And so, you know, then he finds in the back of the temple the sword of Goliath that he had left behind. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, let me rephrase that. God said this to him because he got a word, and you need the word. And you need the prophetic word, and you have to carry the prophetic word. But God said to him, you forgot something, David. You also need the weapons of your warfare. You also need the weapon that you used to slay Goliath. You also need the memory of the giant that you defeated and the weapon you defeated him with. And you're going to carry the sword of Goliath with you in the wilderness, and that's going to be the thing that's going to keep you going. Because even though you're in the wilderness, you're still a giant slayer. Even though it doesn't look like it right now, you're still a giant killer.
Even though you prayed for a few sick people and they didn't get healed, you're still a dead raiser. Even though you prayed for some people and they didn't get delivered, you're still a demon destroyer. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes it don't look like the prophetic words, glory be to God. But if you've got your memory of your victories and you've got your prophetic word and you've got the weapon of the devil that he used against you in your arsenal, get ready because you're going to kill giants once again. Hallelujah. Your present situation, come on, your present situation does not change your identity in God. And he gave you that bear. And he gave you that lion so that you would remember. And he gave you Goliath so that you would remember in the battle and in the wilderness and in the tough time who you really are. Hallelujah. And the wilderness did not mean David could still not pull out his Goliath sword and destroy the works of the enemy. Glory be to God. You see, when we first came to Samoa, it was like the favor of heaven hit us out of the blue. And we just started to see a revival break out in Samoa. Miracles broke out around the whole island. People were hearing coming from north, south, east, west. We went from a small community in Vitali. Anyone know Vitali? Any Samoans in the house? Okay, good. Manawia. And so we started to break out this little chapel, 50 people. The miracles exploded. They said, oh, we're going to have to do another meeting. You're going to have to come back. We said, okay, we'll come back. You know, we've got nothing else to do. And so we came back a month later. They filled that chapel. There were people standing outside. It was standing room only. No one could get in. They were looking outside, out of the windows trying to see what God was doing. That they said, we need a bigger venue. Can you come back another month? We said, sure, we'll come back. We've got nothing else to do. We went back. They hired another venue. We started to do revival meetings and healing meetings, and that venue grew. They said, we need another venue. We started to hire another venue. People started coming from all over the island. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy, and we just kept coming back. And then they said, Joe, we've outgrown this venue. And the pastor said, we don't know half the people that are even coming here anymore. Like, they were like, this is bigger than us. What has God put on your hearts? And we said, well, we feel like we're meant to do a revival crusade in Apia, a national miracle crusade. And they said, well, do what God has put on your heart. And so within a year of going to Samoa and doing this mission work and going back and forth, we hired one of the stadiums in Apia, a rugby stadium in Lotopa, St. Maris rugby grounds. And we got 20 buses going all around the region, all around Samoa. And thousands of people turned up over 4 days. And we had miracles, signs, and wonders that even to this day blow my mind. And God just broke out. We saw on the second night a rain came through and tried to destroy the crusade. And we got up and we rebuked the rain and it disappeared. And when it disappeared, a shout went out amongst the crusade. Everyone started dancing and praising. The moment the high praise went up, a deliverance anointing hit the whole place. And hundreds got delivered just like that. They were dragging them up and just... And I'd never seen that thing before, you know, apart in revival stories and books and things. And it was just insane what was going on. You know, and we saw on the final night a lady that had been in a wheelchair for 26 years get up out of that wheelchair and begin to dance at the front of the venue. And I thought, this is great, God. Maybe every crusade is going to be like this. And so we did another one, and then we did another one, and then we went into battles, and then we went into warfare, and then we went into pastor divisions, and then we went into community disruptions, and then we went into leaders with wrong motivations and people that wanted money, and they ripped us off, and they said they'd do something and they didn't, and they had massive divisions, and we just kept on going. And I suddenly realized why God gave us that first crusade. I suddenly realized why God let us cut the head off Goliath the first time. because he knew we were going to go through some battles and some warfare and some wildernesses, and he wanted to make sure that we knew our identity, because we'd cut the head of Goliath, and he said, don't forget the sword that you have in your possession. Amen. You see, when the king came to Elijah to get the final prophetic word for his life, and Elisha said, strike the ground. And he struck it. Boom, boom, boom. And the prophet said, you should have struck it 5 or 6 times. But because you stopped and you didn't persist all the way from the breakthrough to the breakout, now you will only partially defeat the hand of your enemy. See, God is teaching us, amen, longevity. God is teaching us persistence. God is teaching us, you might have been a Christian 20, 30 years, but guess what? You're going to pray all the way through to the breakthrough, amen? And then the breakout, amen? Your job is not done till you see the streets of Christchurch bathed in the blood of Jesus and the fire of revival. Hallelujah. You know, we have been on a mission. This is our 9th service in 9 days. And we are just on this mission right now. And it's not even our ability. It's just God is doing something just supernatural for our ministry right now. And we're so thankful for the grace of God and the timing of God. Because when we started doing these crusades, I mean, you can imagine, you know, you got the thing and you see the breakthrough of the Lord and you see all these miracles. We'd come back to New Zealand and, hey, guys, we rented a stadium. And they'd be like, who are you? and we saw someone get up from a wheelchair, and they'd be like, it was like, and no one wanted us to speak. No one wanted us to minister. I mean, it was just like we were just hitting this wall coming back here. And I was like, what's going on? And I asked Liz, what's going on? 2 weeks in, I'm so depressed. And she goes, let's save up and go again. And she'd say, it's not the right time, Joe. It's not the right time. So we'd save up, go again, you know, book another stadium, you know, do another series of miracle revival meetings and things like this. Still, just come back to New Zealand. Man, you'll never get. And I'd be like, it was like a fairy tale to people. It like wasn't real. They didn't believe, you know, and we just had this simple faith, like Jesus is who he says he is. And we tapped into something by the grace of God, where we began to see Bible-based miracles, and we began to see the move of God like people have been praying for. And yet that people were praying for it, but they didn't want to activate it. Hallelujah. And I believe in prayer. We have prayer intercessors, you know, following us, praying for us. They're praying for this meeting right now. We just partner with prayer. We love it. But there's also the side of activation. Just like there's the side of the prophetic, where there's also the side of waging the warfare with the prophecies, not just leaving them to grow dust in your journal on the side of the bookshelf, but to wage the warfare with the sword of Goliath. There is also the side of prayer. You know, there's the side of prayer where you activate, where Jesus says you can have the promised land, and you say, okay, I'm going to activate that promise and I'm going to take my promised land. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And we're the type of people, we're like, okay, we're possessors of the prophecies. God said to me, you're a possessor of the prophets. You're a possessor of the promise. You go find the prophecies and then you just step out and possess them. Because someone has to. Amen. And if God's put it in your heart to desire it, that's probably because he wants you to have it. Amen. Because even that desire is by his grace, and he put it there for a reason. Amen. Amen. So we wanted to activate it. But there's also the timing of God. So we'd activate these things and be walking in the stuff, come back to you and say, oh, not the time. 1 year goes, not the time. 2015, not the time. 2016, not the time. 2017, just keep going. And everywhere we went, we'd ask God, do you want us to live here, do something here? I mean, we'd just give our lives, you know, wherever you want us to go, God. And he's like, nope, this is not your landing base. This is not where you, you know, touch down. This is not where you, you know, because you're Kiwis, you're New Zealanders. Don't forget about New Zealand. I say, well, they sure forgot about us because they didn't even believe what we're seeing. It's not the time. It's not the time. So we did a dozen miracle crusades. We've done, you know, so many revival meetings all around the South Pacific and Hawaii. We did a tour of America last year. I've been to the Middle East just seeing revival, miracles, salvations everywhere we've gone. And then last year, God said to us, he said, you know, it's time for you to put your heart back to New Zealand. And I said, but we don't really know anyone, God, you know, and you know, we've written a book called The Uninvited Preachers because for 5 years we were uninvited. Come on now. I used to think I was in the flesh until I read about Lester Sumrall, an amazing apostle of faith in America who's passed away now, and he just said, you know, don't wait until you're invited, just go find a door and kick it open. I said, oh, that's kind of my spirit. And one of the Samoan pastors said to me, you know, once, Joe, you're the only preacher that it's ever come to Samoa uninvited. And I looked at him and I said, well, I am invited. God invited me. And that's what matters, amen? What God thinks about you, not what others think about you, amen? Amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so, you know, we were like, we don't know anyone, and God was just like, just do what you do in the islands. Just pretend you're like a ministry that's coming in from overseas and just do what you do in the islands. And so we went, okay, we'll just book a hall in Pukekohe, and we'll just invite the pastors in the community to a meeting, and we'll share our hearts and see if anyone want to connect with us and partner, and we'll just get the flyers out there and put it out and just see if someone turns up. And if 5 people turn up, those 5 will have a good meeting. But we'll know it's not time, amen? Amen, because we're after revival, hallelujah. And he said, but if the place is packed out and miracles happen and deliverance takes place and people get saved, we'll know it's time for the move of God in New Zealand. Amen. Not trying to say that we're anything special, but we just want to hear what God is doing and partner with him, what he is doing, not what we are doing. Amen? Amen. What the Lord is doing, partner with him, yield to him, be his vessel, and just see what happens. Woo! Oh, yeah, it's time. It's time. And so we did this meeting. And it was just like we were back in Samoa, standing at the crusade grounds with our kids, just wondering, is anyone actually going to turn up? Because no one knows us, and we didn't put our name on the flyers, and we didn't put our picture on the flyers, and we didn't use any TV, because God said, you be in the hidden place, and I will do it in the public place, and you trust me, and be dependent on me, and I will bring people by my spirit, and it'll be the anointing and the miracles and the power of God that attracts people, not your sales pitch or how good of a networker you are. And so we're just like the Bible, amen? He went into the wilderness. He came out, and the power and the fame of him went throughout all the region. Hallelujah. And so Jesus says, just do it like I did it in the Bible, son. You'll be good. And I'm standing there with an empty rugby field thinking, okay, but it was a good word of encouragement, God, but it'd be nice if people actually turned up. You know what I mean? And sitting in Samoa there at that stadium, and all of a sudden the buses come in, and all the buses are full and jammed with people. And the place begins to fill up. And so here we are 6 years later in Pukekohe just doing the same thing at the hall wondering, is anyone actually going to turn up? And then all of a sudden people just start out of nowhere. And we had 2 days of incredible revival services. Winky Prattney was there just to support us because he's kind of like a mentor, father role in our lives. And I turned to Winky turned to me and he said, Joe, he said, I always like to be at the start of something that God is doing. That's why I came tonight. And I thought, ooh, you know. know, if Winky Pratney says something like that, you better listen. Amen. And so we thought, all right, then, you know, we had this crusade in Tonga we were going to do. It's the biggest one that we'd done to date, and the Queen was involved, and we had all the nation pastors coming together, and it was going to be an incredible event. So we still had that to do, and then we thought after that we'll take this trip around New Zealand and we'll just see if anyone turns up. And so we booked this thing, and we kind of had, you know, this kind of rough thing we want to be down in Invercargill, and then we'll kind of make our way up, and we put this video out. And as we're driving down, our good friends Rob and Lynn Packer emailed us, and they said, just so you know, Joe, we really like that video, and we just put it out to a few of our pastoral friends, so you might get some emails. And we had like one person we were going to go see who haven't even heard us preach or anything. We were just going to go and meet this guy, who some of you know, Ian Wright. Awesome man. And so all of a sudden, we're getting these phone calls from people. Hey, I saw the video. Yeah, can you come here? And we're like, oh, detour. Oh, detour, detour. And it was just crazy. And we just sit down with them. Do you agree? Yep, okay, well, let's book a venue right now. We'll shake hands. And then, you know, we'll just come back in 6 months' time. And we were just booking venues and paying for venues, deposits, just with a handshake. Just with like, okay, you know, one person encouraging us. That's all we need. We don't need much. Just give us the sword of Goliath. Give us the occasional encouragement, Lord, and we'll go. We'll do it. Amen? And so we got down to, you know, Ian, and Ian's just like, you know, I saw that video, Joe. He's like, there's something on it. I just sent it out to all these people all over the place. He said, I've seen 1,000 promotional videos, but there was something on that. He said, I've actually got a prophet in town. He's only here for 2 days, and you're here at the same time. Do you want to meet him? And then this prophet goes from America is prophesying over us. And he's like, got drunk when I was watching the video, and I fell on the ground. And I was like, okay, handshake. All right, we'll see you in a few months. Going by just blind faith in a living God. Amen. Amen. And you know, we're fortunate enough we get to travel now all around New Zealand on this trip. We did a 2-month road trip. And then, you know, we took 2 weeks off because COVID was still messing the levels. And then we're on another 2-month road trip this time. And we didn't even know that we'd have a meeting here. We didn't even know we'd be standing here today because the alert levels haven't gone down. And they were like, you got to book the venue and you got to put out the flyers. And it's like, who knows what the government's going to do. But if we believe we're on the timing of God, if we believe we're on the assignment of God, if we would believe we're meant to be here today, standing here on the first time alert level one at your combined gathering, when the gates of hell are coming against the church, but God is saying, I will lift up the gates of glory and the King of glory shall come in. And we're standing here listening. Yes, Christchurch, the gates are opening. The gates are lifting and the King of glory is coming in. He's coming. He's coming. Hallelujah. And we've been doing these meetings. We've been seeing people drive for hours to come to these revival meetings. I'm telling you, when we're in Invercargill, we had people driving from Dunedin. We had people driving from Bluff. We had people driving from Queenstown just to come to the move of God to receive a fresh touch. When we're in Wellington, they came down from Whanganui. They came up from the Kapiti Coast. When we're in Levin, they came from Palmerston North. We were getting emails from people saying, do you do deliverance? I'm in Palmerston North and I need to get delivered. Can I come to the meeting? People driving hours just to come and just get a touch from God because the body of Christ and New Zealand is so hungry for the genuine thing. They want to see the move of God, and the devil's trying to trick us, say God, you know, the people are... Sorry, I'm just so just... My mouth can't keep up with my mind right now. You know, when I was 21 and I was learning how to minister and everything like that, they were doing this outreach and the girl said, you know, you want to say something? And I felt this anointing come on me. I got up there and I thought I was preaching. And I came down and I said to her, how was that? And she said, oh, that rap was really good. I said, I wasn't rapping, I was preaching. She said, oh, you were talking so fast I couldn't make it out. I just thought it was a rap. So God had to mellow me a little bit. Oh, Jesus. You want to say anything, babe? Jesus' mighty name. So at Pukekohe, huh, Pukekohe? I don't know know where I am. So we planned out the whole year. This is before COVID. 6 years overseas. 6 years doing missions. 6 years doing revival. COVID's not even on the radar, and God's saying 2020 is New Zealand's year. 2020 is the year to your comeback. You understand the significance of that? Like, we can't travel. We're evangelists. We're missionaries. If the flights were open, we'd be too tempted to go. We'd be too tempted. But the moment COVID hit, we already had our whole year planned here. That's why we haven't stopped the meetings. We've lost money because we've booked a meeting and then we had to postpone it because of COVID. But God said, no, you're on my agenda. You're on my timeline. You're on my assignment. Just keep going. Maneuver around COVID. Honor the government, but keep moving because I don't want a distraction in this hour. COVID is a distraction. There's many distractions that God is bringing, the devil is bringing right now. But God wants thee on the assignment because revival is at hand. Hey! Hey, brother. Hey. And you know what? It starts like a seed, but there's no difference between a seed and a tree. And the apple on the tree is the same as the seed. It has the same DNA. So don't say, well, it's not revival yet because it doesn't look like Azusa Street. And it doesn't look like the Welsh revival. And it doesn't look like in the 90s. Don't look at that. Look at the seed. Is it the same DNA? Does it have the fingerprint of our God in heaven? If it has the fingerprint of the Father, let's roll with it because it might be in seed form, but we're not going to pull it up with doubt and unbelief. We're going to go until we see the full manifestation of the breakthrough of the glory of God. Hallelujah. We're just going to keep going. I'm telling you, the seed is there because I'm looking at revival, and I've talked to Winky Prattney about this and what does revival look like. And so I know the characteristics, and I know that unity is a place of revival. And I'm seeing unity in the churches. I'm seeing unity among pastors. In Motueka, where we head in a couple of weeks' time, there's so much unity there. All the pastors have come together. They're praying. 6 months ago, they were praying for this meeting, we're going to, the revival we're going to do. 60 or 70 people turning out on a Monday night to pray for a revival. And I said, man, if you're getting 60, 70 people in a town like that on a Monday night praying for a revival, that's a characteristic of revival. Hunger is a characteristic of revival. People coming from everywhere, driving an hour, flying 2 hours just to come to meetings. That's a sign of revival. Just last Saturday night, I did a healing call, and this guy just runs up the front, and I'm like, what do you need healing for, man? He goes, I don't need healing. I need to get my life right with Jesus on a healing call. I said, oh, okay, you're a local at this church. He said, I've never been to this church before, but I need to get my life right with Jesus. I said, okay, well, how did you get here then? He said, last night at 1 a.m, I was scrolling Facebook and my computer screen froze. And I was looking, why is my computer screen froze? And I was tapping on the computer screen, wondering why it had frozen. And I looked up and your flyer was right there for this meeting tonight. And he said, the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, you get down there. It is time to give your life back to me and tell him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just people running to be saved. Amen. One guy drove his son all the way from Whanganui just to get him saved in the fire of God. He said, I want my son to get saved in the fire, Joe. I'm bringing him all the way down to Whanganui. No pressure. Amen. Because when God's in the house, salvations are just going to happen. When God's in the house, miracles are just going to happen. When God's in the house, deliverances are just going to happen. There was a lady in our meeting on Saturday night, just walked down. I said, who wants prayer for healing? Just come up. And she starts walking down. And as she's walking down the thing, I say to her, what do you need prayer for? She goes, I don't need prayer. I said, I thought you'd come up here for prayer. She said, no, because as I was walking down, I felt the pain leave and I'm instantly healed. Hallelujah. See, one of the biggest arguments when we're in the islands is, oh, that's the islands, Joe, but wait till you come and start preaching in the Western world. Because that's what happens in Africa, that's what happens in India, that's what happens in the islands, but it doesn't happen in the West. And I said to that person, I said, oh, so did we get a different Jesus? I'm confused. My theology must be wrong. Because when I read my Bible, I read that we get the same Jesus and the same Holy Spirit. Do we get a mini-me Holy Spirit? So Africa get the big Holy Spirit and, you know, India get the big Jesus, but we get the small one? I don't understand, because I'm just a simple guy. I never went to training school, but I went to the school of the Spirit. And I just believe the simplicity of the Word of God. If God says it, I do it. If God says I can raise the dead and I can heal the sick and I can cast out demons, I'm just going to do it. I mean, we're seeing so much deliverance right now in our meetings. Like, it is ridiculous. And we're not a deliverance ministry. Like, we're not Bill Zabriskie. Praise the Lord. But that's a deliverance ministry. We don't teach on deliverance, but deliverance just happens all the time. Why? Because we share about Jesus, amen? Because where Jesus is, deliverance is, amen? Where Jesus is, healing is, amen? We were at YWAM just this week, just doing teachings at the YWAM base. But the problem is, when you bring us in and just want to do teachings, good luck. And so we're ministering there, and we honor, and we do protocol, and so we're just saying, okay, how far do we push this, God? You know, what do we want to do? And so we're just sharing our testimony and sharing faith. Then the leader that invited us, the leader, stands up halfway through the message and runs up the front and says, I'm first, I need deliverance. Yeah. Boom, power of God hits him. He goes down. I'm like, oh, it's on now. Amen. And we just had 3 days of amazing transformation and just teaching people about their identity. It was awesome. And then on the last day, people is getting delivered and someone's screaming. I'm like, hey, kids, you see them? Go, deliver them. Well, you're the, no, I'm not the guy. That's the lie of the devil. Thinking that I got something that you don't have. Thinking that my identity is different than your identity? No, that's the trick of the enemy. We're past that. We're moving on from that, amen? The body of Christ is going to rise up in the identity that God has given them as sons and daughters of God, amen? And I said, well, I'm gone tomorrow anyway, so it's your turn to bat. Batter up. There you go. Next minute, they were, come out in the name of Jesus. I'm like, come on. You do the deliverance, amen? We go get a cup of tea, amen? And so we're starting to see this happen all over the place. Like, we did this meeting on Friday night in Kapiti Coast. Sunday night on the Kapiti Coast. I'm telling you, there was such a move of God, man. People were crying and weeping in their seats. People were coming under the conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we were ministering to people, great deliverances, great manifestations, great signs and wonders. It was amazing. And then afterwards, me and Liz went and sat down. Then this pastor that was there from another church that had come to visit, he gets up and he goes, oh, we're not done yet. He goes, this is like the 90s, man, when deliverance was happening, revival was happening everywhere. He goes, we're not done. Anyone that wants to pray through to the breakthrough and get their full freedom and their full deliverance, come up the front. All of a sudden, there's another rush. Everyone's coming up the front. And he just starts laying hands like the fire just hit this guy. He remembered it in the 90s. But God was rekindling something. God was reflaming something. God was fanning the flame of revival. Amen? And he starts laying hands. Boom, boom. I'm like, I better follow this guy and catch up. And so I'm doing the second round. Just a flow. And I'm like, wow, revival is this flow of God's anointing where it ebbs and it flows again. It ebbs and it flows again. And you just have to ride the waves. And so after that, we had dinner and I thought we were done. We've had one wave. We've had two waves. And I thought we were done. I went and sat down again. Next minute, this young kid comes up to me and he's like, hey, can you just talk for me for a minute? I'm struggling with depression and da-da-da-da. And I'm looking at him. And then all of a sudden, he's... And I'm like, man, I thought I was done, God. But God ain't done. God's not done. God's never done. Amen? Amen? God wants to move, hallelujah, in the 2 hours today. God wants to move when you get home. God wants to move Monday morning when you wake up. God wants to move in your workplace. God wants to move on the street when you're having coffee with your friends, hallelujah. He starts, rah, rah, rah. So then I'm like, just come out. I'm so tired. I'm not even, you know, sometimes we get worked up about the demonic. I'm just like, come out, please. And he starts falling on the floor, banging the floor. Come out, spirit of rage. Come out, anger. Come out, self-hate. Come out, you know, just... hatred, and he starts coughing and hacking, falls down as dead, and all the students that are left there, all the youth are just like. So then I preached to them for another 20 minutes, and the third wave kicked in. And the waves just roll in. And let me end on this. When the gates open, the King of Glory comes in. The gates bring the glory. The gates. The gates bring the glory. Come on, babe, sing. The gates bring the glory.
Open up your gates.
The gates bring the glory.
The gates bring the glory.
And the glory. My son, the old has gone and the new has come. And today there is a rising up of the power of God on the inside of you, because the devil has lied to you. He's brought up the familiar spirits of the past. He's brought up the lies of condemnation. He's made you feel like you were when you first got saved. He's tried to remind you of all the things you did. But the Lord is removing the spirit of condemnation off you tonight. The Lord is saying you tonight, you're a free person. The Lord is saying to you, today I am unlocking you and unleashing you, and the torment of your mind this day shall be removed, and the spirit of trauma and the spirit of depression shall be once and for all removed off your life, because depression has bugged you. And depression has clothed you, but the Lord says, I'm giving you the garment of praise, brother, for the spirit of heaviness, and you will set many free, and you will be a father to many, even in your young age, and you will love the unlovable, and you will touch the untouchable, and you will reach the city with the love of Jesus. That torments you and the mind that condemns you, and I remove the carnality of the mind that seeks to entrap you, and I say, Son, become free in the knowledge of who I am and the knowledge of who you are. Is not my hand long? Is not my hand long? It is not short that it cannot save. It is not short that I cannot save. For behold, I'm getting to unlock the miracles and unleash what I have in your life. So rise up, my son, on eagle's wings. I release it over you right now. Son, what you've been through is not who you are, and what you've done is not who you are, and what you did is not who you are. For behold, I have made you as white as snow. Behold, I have made you as white as snow, like no launder on earth can whiten. And I've made you rise on eagle's wings, and I've put my spirit inside you, and I've put my son inside you. For I died on the cross for you, so that you could be the full expression of who I created you to be. The devil was a lie. All your past is going to be removed, and the amount of things that you've been through, son, are going to become a platform through which you can preach my gospel. For you will be a preacher, and your testimony will go throughout all the land, and I will use you to share your testimony in church after church, and church after church will hear about the grace of God, and you will be used mightily for my name, my son. So be free today. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's fire setting upon you right now.
Holy is the Lamb. 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 Holy is the Lamb who was slain.
There's just
holy, holy, holy.
There's an anointing for
holy, holy,
freedom
holy,
from the spirit of condemnation right now.
Holy, holy, holy.
If you struggle in your mind, if you struggle with being condemned from time to time, if you struggle with the thoughts of your past and the devil keeps reminding you of your sin, there's freedom today from condemnation. Lord says that I'm healing you, my son. The Lord says I'm healing you of some things in the mind that even from a young age you battled with. And you've never been able to truly get that complete freedom. It comes for a couple of months, 6 months, and then you get tied up again with fears of failure and even sometimes mistakes that you've made. And the fear of failing has stopped you from entering in to the freedom of Christ. But the Lord says to you, my son, today I am breaking the spirit of condemnation off you that you've walked with your whole Christian life. Today the Father is coming to you and setting you free, my son, and he's showing you his true identity, because the devil has messed up in your mind and he's plagued your mind. And the Lord says, no more. Today I'm putting an assignment across your mind. I'm marking you with my glory and with my blood, and I'm saying to the devil, no more. No more, my son. No more will you be racked with failure. There were some things you tried in the past concerning business. There were things you tried in the past concerning work, and there were some failures that took place, and you never feel like you could measure up. You never feel like you could measure up to bosses, and they'd put you down and it would make you feel horrible. And it was a self-fulfilling prophecy, because you'd go home and beat up on yourself. But the Lord says, today, my son, I release you from those mistakes. You are not your mistakes. You are who God says you are. Jesus, my name. Spirit of anxiety that sometimes comes upon you, a spirit of anxiety. There's sometimes nervousness, even sometimes it might be the odd panic attack. And the Lord says that he's tracing it right back to the lack of value that you received when you were growing up, the lack of value, the lack of love that you received. And the Lord wants you to know it's not your fault. It's not your fault. There's some things you blame yourself for when you were younger. And the Lord says, it's not your fault, my daughter. You're washed in the blood of Jesus. There's some value things that the Lord wants to instill in you right now. And I just break right now the condemnation. I break right now the condemnation in the name of Jesus. The condemnation in the name of Jesus. Right now, fire. Fire right now in the name of Jesus. Come on. It leads right now in Jesus' name. Nursing profession. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I just felt like the nursing profession. Lift your hands right now. That's it. Amen. You can get the overflow, amen. Amen, because I'm standing here and then, you know, but you get the overflow, sister, okay? Jesus, my name. The Lord shows me you have a gift of compassion. It's all right, just take it all. Just take it all. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa. God's getting to, I don't know if God has transitioned you or getting to transition you, but there's a role that you've been wanting in the profession. I don't know, there's something. I see a role that the Lord has for you. He's getting ready to transition you because there's been times where you've felt like it's too much in the current role or the current situation that you're in. Sometimes it really gets too much and you battle with fatigue. You battle with fatigue in your life. But the Lord is saying that there's some roles that are ahead for you. There's some things you're going to enter into. There's a different role that the Lord has for you. I'm seeing something that's going to release you to do some things that are on your heart, some things that the Lord has been showing you to do. And you've said, where is the time, Lord? When do I have the time? But the Lord's going to release you in this role. It's going to be a good wage. It's going to provide for all your needs, and it's going to free you up for the hand of the Lord for you to do some things that God has for your life. Come on, Jesus. Come on, stand up, stand up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Whew. Come on, come on. Hand, lay hands on it, babe. Where's our catchers over here, brother? The Lord says that you have the gift of compassion. Even from a young age, you had compassion for people. You had compassion for animals. You just loved animals. And I just see that there's a gift of compassion on you. Whew, and sometimes you feel things. You feel what other people are going through. God has given you a feeling gift in Jesus' name. But when you were younger, because you used to feel all this stuff, you've been hurt before. And so the Lord, there was something about your life where you kind of hardened. There was an area of your heart that you hardened because you were betrayed. And there was mistrust because you didn't understand that you were called as a feeler, but you have to guard your emotions and you have to guard that feeling gift. But the Lord is releasing you today, and He wants you to trust Him again fully in Jesus' name. And He's going to unlock that gift of compassion, but He's going to give you the wisdom now to handle it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, my God. And I just felt someone here. I don't know if you in the day, if you have a daycare or you want to be a day, you want to work with. I'm not talking about in the kids now, but you want to work with little kids or you have a day, something to do with daycare. Is that anyone? Yeah. Okay. I hear specifically daycare, but you're so into God, you just receive and get an overflow. Okay, and you're a nurse and you look after special needs kids. Okay, Jesus, mighty name. Come on, just lift your hands in this place, because God's not confined just to what's happening up here. Amen. Amen. God is an omnipresent God. Amen. He can manifest anywhere at any time, and you just need to begin to receive right now from the Lord where you are, and just believe that you can be touched and healed where you are, and believe that there'll be a shift where you are. Jesus, mighty name. Jesus, mighty name. The Lord says over you that He wants to release a financial blessing over you, daughter, because you've actually carried a lot more financial stress because you look after a lot more people, and there's been always a stress upon the financial realm, and there's always been something there where you've had to give here and give there, and there's been a stress on that because other people in your family haven't taken up that financial slack. But the Lord is saying that, you know, don't just look at your job as the source, because the Lord wants to bring finances from different areas, and He's going to support you in different ways. And so the Lord wants you to be released in that area of your life. Jesus, mighty name. Jesus, mighty name. And there was a season in your life where you even worked a second job and you just had to try and make your way. And there was a toil that developed in your life, but God's bringing you into a season of rest. And I just removed the toiling off you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. There is such a revelation of the daughter that's coming upon this lady here, and you've struggled with many years for being the daughter of God. You've heard it ministered. You've been to conferences. You've heard about that administration of being a daughter and Him being your father and everything like that. And there's a lot of understanding. But the Lord says there's a new, fresh thing that I'm going to do in your life, because I just have to remove a few doubts that you have from your past. And I'm going to remove those. And there's going to be a new identity. And you're just going to have such a revelation of being a daughter of God. And the Lord says, do not worry about the trauma of your past and the things that you went through, because there is such a revelation coming of the daughter and the princess of the Father that God wants to do in your life. and it's going to come out of that brokenness, and it's going to come out of that pain, but it's going to be something that the Lord does that is so sweet and beautiful. So sweet and beautiful. There's going to be such a transformation that takes place. What have you come up here for?
I'm a preschool teacher.
You're the
preschool? I'm a preschool teacher, and I teach in the nursery as well.
Okay, you're the preschool. Because I was standing here when I felt the word, and so you were there. You were there. So that means you're in the area, right? Amen. So just lift your hands. Thank you, Father. Pre-salvation, where there were some things that you went through. There were some hard things. There were some very hard things that you went through. And those were the things that drew you to the Lord. Thank you, Father. Even some relationships, I don't know if it was marriages or what, but even some relationships, some partners, things didn't work out and were abusive in your life. And you've come to the Lord, and the Lord says you started late. And sometimes you feel, I wish I was a Christian when I was younger. I wish I'd stayed in church when I was younger. I feel like I've started late. I've got so much catching up to do. But the Lord says to you tonight, today, do not worry. Do not worry, because I'm about to multiply your days. And I'm about to multiply your deliverance. And I'm about to multiply your healing. And I'm about to multiply your breakthrough. And there's a freedom that's coming to you. There's a deliverance that's coming to you right now. Even in your body, I command the pain, the spirit of infirmity that come upon you when you were young to loose you right now in the name of Jesus. And that trauma to come out right now in the name of Jesus right now. Do we have a lady that can just minister to her right now? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, can we sing that heart of worship song? Is that all right? That was just so anointed today. And why don't we just lift our hands? Okay, yeah, we're going to shift into some healing right now, okay, amen? So that's why I want to just change the song, amen? Can we just lift our hands? You know, on Friday night, just being, I did a revival meeting in Johnsonville and Wellington, and the people began to pick up the song. And that's another sign of revival, amen, when the people begin to worship their King. And I just felt there was such an anointing on that heart of worship. And we're going to shift into a time of healing before I just pass it over. And we're so thankful, amen. I don't want you to think of we've been ministering today like trying to give you something, because there's something already here, amen. It's already in the house, amen. We're just so honored and feel so privileged to actually be in the house that's carrying the authority of the gates of the city. And I know it's not an accident, and we feel so blessed and honored to be here. And why don't we just lift our voices and let the people carry this right now. And we're just going to sing to the Lord, amen. And why don't you adore Him right now, amen. Because when the glory comes, Jesus comes. He said to Martha, did I not say that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Now I'm going to just pray for a few specific things, but you can believe, amen, like the woman that came up, she got healed as she walked up. God's doing this in our meetings all the time. But I felt a heat come on my elbow when I was standing there in worship. And sometimes the word of knowledge works like that with me, where I'll just feel a heat. And I don't know if there's something with someone's elbow where there's a hyperextension, or you haven't been through an injury, you haven't been able to extend it all the way. God just wants to heal your elbow right now. I believe there's a mighty miracle coming to someone's elbow right now. And for me, it was in my right elbow. But if that's you, just come over to the side here. I'm going to pray for you uniquely. If that's you with the elbow. Right now.